विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रवचार्य अष्टोदर सतीश डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नमचार श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल द बॉडी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल द बॉडी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उक्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ऑन द ओकेशन ऑफ रामनवमी टुडे विल बी रीडिंग फ्रॉम Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Text 10, Verse number 53. Nadi Vyadi Jaraglani Dukkha Shoka Bhaya Kalmaha मृत्यु शान्निश्चितां नासीत् रामे राजन् अदोक्षजे नाधि व्याधि जराग्लानि दुःख शोक भयक्लमः मृत्युशान्निच्छतां नासीत् रामे राजन्यदोक्षजे नाधि व्याधि जराग्लानि दुःखशोक भयक्लमः मृत्युशान्निश्चितां नासीत् रामे राजन्यदोक्षजे Matajis. नॉट आदि आध्यात्मिक आदि भौतिक आदि दैविक सफरिंग्स दैट इज सफरिंग फ्रॉम द बॉडी एंड माइंड फ्रॉम अदर लिविंग एंटिटीज एंड फ्रॉम नेचर व्याधि डिसीज जरा ओल्ड एज ग्लानी बिवरमेंट दुखा ग्रीफ शोका लमेंटेशन भय फियर क्लमा एंड फटीक मृत्यु डेथ च ऑल्सो अनिच्छितम ऑफ दोज हु डिड नॉट लाइक इट नासित देर वॉज नॉट रामे ड्यूरिंग द रूल ऑफ लॉर्ड रामचंद्र राजानी बिकॉज ऑफ ही बीइंग द किंग अदोक्षजे द सुप्रीम पर्सन ऑफ गॉडेड हु इज बियॉन्ड दिस मटेरियल वर्ल्ड Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Translation. When Lord Ramchandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was the king of this world, all bodily and mental sufferings, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fatigue, fear were completely absent. There was even no death for those who did not want it. Purport. All these facilities existed because of Lord Ramchandra's presence as the king of entire world. A similar situation could be introduced immediately, even in this age of called Kali, the worst of all ages. It is said, Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna descends in this Kali Yuga in the form of His holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. If we chant offenselessly, Ram and Krishna are still present in this age. The kingdom of Rama was immensely popular and beneficial, and spreading of this Hare Krishna movement can immediately introduce a similar situation, even in this Kali Yuga. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्री राधा कृष्ण पदान सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितंश हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरु भ्रष्ट कृपा सिन्धुप्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे हरे। So on the occasion of Ram Navami of this year, there is a short description of Lord Ramchandra's pastimes in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this shloka particularly describes Lord Ramchandra when he was ruling. How was his Ram Rajya? Where it said that all those, the citizens of Ayodhya, Ayodhya Vasis, they did not suffer from any bodily, mental, no disease, old age, bereavement, or any lamentations. And there was no death even for those who did not want it. That means if a person doesn't want to die, he would not die. And the Vishesh, this is like the description of Ram Raja is like, in India, various people discuss about Ram Raja. But this is what has been described in the scripture about the true Ram Raja. And more particularly, if you read the purport which is given by Srila Prabhupada, where is emphatically mentioning it, that similar situation could be introduced immediately even this age called Kali, the worst of all ages. And then he says that if Krishna conscious movement, that is Hare Krishna movement, if it spread, then similar kind of situation can happen even in Kali Yuga. So what we can say is the very special faith that Srila Prabhupada had. That he is making very bold statement that even in this age of Kali Yuga, Ram Raja is possible, and he is giving a very clear method by which it can come. And we see what is the speciality of Srila Prabhupada is his immense faith in his own spiritual master, which separated him from other spiritual leaders. Because when in Chaitanya Bhagavat that verse came that holy name of the Lord will spread all over the world, many people thought it's a symbolic and maybe it's a poetic. But Prabhupada had immense faith in the Shastra, at the same time his own spiritual master. And that's why we see that whole world, this Hare Krishna movement spread in a short time. And those people who had no history of following Varnashram Dharma, all of them, they also could take it. At the same time, it spread to some places which are impossible that the Krishna consciousness can be accepted. Whether you go to the Siberia, that is the northern part of the world, where there is extreme cold, the people of Siberia will also accept it, Hare Krishna movement. If you go to deep Amazon forest of Africa, there also you will find people have accepted the holy name, they accepted the Krishna consciousness. So all these places is considered as absolutely impossible. But Prabhupada could do that because of his immense faith in the words of his spiritual master. So Prabhupada himself describes what is the Shraddha. Shraddha, that means it's a full faith, and that faith is a firm faith, it's not a shaky faith. And there is a strong conviction that if I do my activities in Krishna consciousness, my work, my life will be perfect. And this is how Prabhupada defined the Shraddha. That means exclusively everything for Krishna. That is Sarvadharma Parityajam Mamekam Sharanam Vaja. Usually what happens is we give some part to Krishna, some part to family, some part to even nowadays in Kali Yuga, give it to the pets or dogs. So the thing is, what scripture demands is complete surrender. And that kind of faith is there. And that's why one of the favorite shloka that Srila Prabhupada often quoted was Yasya Devi Para Bhakti, where he clearly says that those great souls who have implicit faith both in the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. And we can see that how Srila Prabhupada had a firm faith in his spiritual master Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he was always very much enthusiastic to carry the mission of his spiritual master. And that mission was given to him at his first meeting itself, that you spread the Lord Chaitanya's message all around the world. So this kind of faith is very, very essential in one's spiritual life. And that is why we have chosen this particular verse, which indicates that how Srila Prabhupada has formed faith and is making very bold statement that even in this Kali Yuga, we can bring back the spiritual atmosphere that existed even in Satya Yuga or even in Treta Yuga if you have a faith in the Supreme Lord. So how do we as a sadhaka keep our faith intact? So for that purpose we always have to be in the association of the devotees. Then only our faith in the Supreme Lord, in the words of spiritual master, will increase. And at the same time, what we have to understand is it's not just faith in the Supreme Lord alone. We have to keep faith in his representatives as well. Because if you say that only the Supreme Lord I surrender, but I don't take his devotees seriously, then one will never have such kind of strong faith. It will eventually diminish, and eventually your faith in the Supreme Lord will also go. And in this was just a couple of verses before, in that purport also Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that those people who are sinful and who do not have desire to give up sinful life, even those people also, if they chant offenselessly, their life will be successful. And that's how we see that how immense faith Srila Prabhupada had in the holy name of the Lord. And he says that Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. And he mentions that the blessings of Lord Ramchandra, who appeared in this age of Kali as Lord Gaurasundara. That means Lord Ram himself has come in this Kali Yuga as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we see this holy name, how it has got such a immense capacity to change the life of the people. As people start performing so many ways of self-realization, but of all the paths of the self-realization, the chanting of the holy name is most important. And it is very, very effective, and especially very effective in this age. And at the same time, we can see that it was also effective in the previous ages as well. Like we have seen, this Ramayana is written by Valmiki Muni. And what was the previous life of Valmiki Muni? The life of Valmiki Muni was he just existed on the profession of hunter. That means mercilessly killing the living entities, killing the birds or the animals. and living life out of it, living, earning one's livelihood from that profession. That means that profession was very sinful. At the same time, it was very cruel, because you shoot arrow or you cut somebody's throat and the whole blood flows. Unless and until your mind is very seasoned in cruelty, it's not possible for anyone to perform this kind of violence. And Valmiki was living whole life with that violence. And then we see that how that whole transformation came about as he meets Narad Muni and gets the initiation into chanting of the holy name. And then he becomes this sage, where Narad Muni explains him about the Ramayana in a brief, then Brahmaji explains it, and he was given the divine vision by which he could see the entire Ramayana happening. So it's like Valmiki Muni was given this divine vision by which he could see, like he could describe when Lord Ram and Mother Sita were alone in the forest and what they were discussing. Or it's like what was happening all over the war, every places, all the incidences in Ramayana, in the life of Lord Ram and Sita, Valmiki Muni could see. And we can see that whatever Ramayana that he has written is still sung today as well. And he was the one who taught this, the subject of Ramayana, to the Lav and Kush, who were the sons of Lord Rama. And then Mother Sita also kept her sons in his ashram. So we can see how the spectrum changed from the hunter to such an elevated soul. At the same time, we can have a faith and the process of devotional service, that Lord doesn't see what is the past life of yours. He says, what is your present surrender? And if you take sincerely the process of devotional service, you can attain a very, very exalted position as well. And as we are reading nowadays this sixth canto and the story of Ajamil, which is very clearly emphasizing the importance of chanting the holy name. And we see that the end of this pastime, Sukhdev Goswami wanted to emphasize on the glories of the holy name. And that's how he mentions in that one of the shloka to Maharaj Parikshit, the Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnu Jagat Mangalam Aham Sam Mahatamapi Kauravya Vidhi Ekantika Nishkrutam. So this is very important verse where Sukhdev Goswami is saying that, my dear king, the chanting of the holy name is such a powerful that it is able to uproot the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, chanting of the holy name is the most auspicious activity for the living entity in the entire universe. And then Sukhdev Goswami is telling Maharaj Parikshit, that you please understand this, and at the same time, if you take it seriously, others will also take it seriously. So there are like so many ways by which one takes the atonement, one takes the prayaschitta, but the chanting of the holy name is considered as the topmost. And then we can see that Ramayana, this situation is there where Valmiki Muni could transform himself to such a great extent, simply having implicit faith in the words of his spiritual master. As we have seen, that how Srila Prabhupada is exhibiting such an immense faith in the Vedic literature, in the Parampara system, and
boldly he is propagating this things which apparently appears to be impossible. And we see like today the Supreme Lord descended from the spiritual world. And if you see all these divine incarnations that happen in the material world, that's a time the material situation is always disturbed. You take whether Varaha Dev appeared. So when Lord Varaha appeared, that time Hiranyaksha, he had put the whole earth planet into the Garbhadaksha ocean. And Hiranyaksha was so powerful that Lord Brahma, who lives like 312 trillion years, but still he could not do anything to rectify the situation. And the Supreme Lord himself had to descend to rectify the situation, and then Lord comes in the form of a Varaha and reinstates the earth to its original position. Then we see that Matsyavatar, that's another way the Supreme Lord descends. That's a time there was a massive flood. Like we have little glimpse of flood, that when the excessive rain comes to our area, we find that some land is submerged under the water. But at that time, the entire earth planet was under the water. So we can see such a massive calamity where the people are totally helpless. When a small flood comes, we become so helpless, we have to just run away to find a shelter. When the entire earth planet is under the water, that's the time the Supreme Lord comes and protects the Vedas. And that's how we see that in the material world, this situation will always remain, where there will be a lot of calamities will be there. This shloka explained that how all these calamities were totally absent during the time of Lord Ram. But at this time, when the Lord usually descends, the situation is very topsy-turvy. Nothing is in order. And we see in the Kali Yuga that things will keep deteriorating. We always feel the situation is nice, and then we are managing the things in such a way, and we see a slight improvement in our material conditions. But actually what happens is, the material conditions are always deteriorating. If you just look at the world today, there are statistics given by the Global Forest Watch. This is an agency who keeps the track of how much forest land is there in the world. And it gave the Indian statistics, which is said that India lost 2.33 trillion hectares of land since 2000. That means since 2000 is like 24 years. Like 2.33 million hectares of land was deforested. That means that many tree vanished from Indian country. And then and that's how like it has to have a great impact on the earth. It will have a great impact on the rain pattern. It will have a great impact on the wildlife. And it will have a great impact on the income and the condition of the world. So what we have to understand is that this is how the situation will always deteriorate. And the material life is always unpredictable. And the only solution that is available is the spirituality, which in Prabhupada is mentioning in most of his purport, for seriously taking the life of a spiritual sadhaka. And we have seen like the how the life is predictable. If you just see in your own lifetime, how many international wars are taking place. Like Middle East, we found that once the Iraq had just captured the Kuwait and there was a lot of great disturbance in Middle East. Then we see there is a last one decade, even if you see, the minimum 4 to 5 major wars have taken place. The Syrian war was there, Russia-Ukraine conflict is there. In Yemen also there is a problem, in Libya there is a problem. So the thing is, what happens is, the material situation is always uncertain. Now you imagine, when your country goes in the war, can you imagine the fear that is there? Because you are staying in the house, any time the bomb will fall on your house and nothing will remain. Either you will die or you will be injured or you will become homeless. To be a refugee means you have nothing in your hand. The Ukraine war, we have seen some of the devotees who had 2 flats and both the buildings got collapsed because of the bombs and missiles. Now what that devotee have is only the backpack. In the backpack, how much clothes you can keep? Maybe one day, two days, three days clothes. So all the entire life, whatever you accumulated, your bank balance, your furniture and your family. War, you are just on the street with just because you are fortunate enough to save your life. So you got away with that, but all the position for which you worked for all your life is gone. And that is why all the scriptures and the spiritual personalities constantly remind us about the unpredictable material situations and need for the spiritual practices, that we should take it up very seriously. Now we see that how this Lord Ram, the whole story is there, where Dashrath Maharaj, for many years he did not get any child, and because of that he was always worried. Even though he was such a powerful Dashrath, the name itself shows that he could fight in 10 directions. So even if 10 people come from 10 directions, he alone could fight with all of them. And he had a beautiful Ayodhya Nagari. The description of Ayodhya Nagari is practically, for Kali Yuga person, impossible to imagine. Not only this Ayodhya was beautiful, the people living in the Ayodhya were also very religious and very high characters, living with all the good virtues. Because this, you may have a lot of wealth, but in your family, if the people are there who are a bad character, then there is no peace in that home. So Ayodhya, not only Ayodhya was a beautiful city where the all opulence and the all facilities were available, at the same time the people were also happy. As we seen, this was clearly describes that if person doesn't want to die, the death will not come. That much facility was there at the time of Ayodhya. And then the sages perform yajna, and then from yajna that payasam comes, and the queens of Dashrath, they eat that, and then they have Kaushalya had Ram, and Kaikeyi gives birth to the Bharat, and Sumitra gives it to Lakshman and Shatrughna. And it is explained, because Ramayana gives a very brief description about the childhood pastimes of Lord Ram. But the description is given in such a way that Sarva Jnanopa Sampana Sarve Samudita Gunehe. That means all these 4 children were Jnanvan, they were very knowledgeable. And Sarve Samudita Gunehe means all virtues were there in these 4 children of Dashrath Maharaj. And Tesham Api Mahateja Ramaha Satya Parakramaha. That means, among these 4 children, especially Lord Ram, who was very tejasvi, and he was very dear to all the people of Ayodhya. Ista Sarva Lokasya Sakshank Iva Nirmalah. That means, the analogy is given that of a moon planet. When Nishkalanka means there is no spotless moon. So like that, Lord Ramchandra's character was there. And then right from the childhood, Lakshman was very much devoted to Lord Ramchandra. And wherever Lord Ram would go, Lakshman would go along with him and render all kinds of bodily services to Lord Ram. So it was always considered that Lakshman means is kind of a second prana of Lord Ram. And Ramrad, if anything would be given for Lord Ram to eat, he would never eat alone. He will always share with Lakshman. At the time of going to bed also, Lord Ram will always call Lakshman. Without Lakshman, Lord Ram would not get a sleep at all. When Lord Ramchandra would go in the forest for hunting, Lakshman would always accompany him and always would take care of all his bodily needs. So this is how Lord Ramchandra was served by Lakshman. And as they were taking Shiksha in the Ayodhya, so when they were grown up, then Dashrath feels that now I need to teach them. So he requests Vasishtha Muni that now you can formally teach all my four children. And then Vasishtha Muni's ashram, Dashrath Maharaj brings all his children and then he also sits there. And Vasishtha Muni says that now, once I start teaching them, you have to go from here. The father can't sit when the guru is teaching to his students. But Dashrath Maharaj was so close to Lord Ramchandra. Even for a moment, if Lord Ramchandra is away from his eyes, it would be impossible situation for Dashrath Maharaj. So it was a great pain for Dashrath Maharaj to leave the children there, because Vasishtha is guru, the guru's order has to be followed. So he leaves from there. And as soon as Dashrath Maharaj leaves, first thing that Vasishtha Muni does is he gets down from his seat and then offer obeisances to Lord Ramchandra and others and Sankamam lists them and then explains that I know you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I have been entrusted this role of a guru and whatever knowledge that comes from you, I will give it to you. So this is how then he teaches all of them. And then one day suddenly Vishwamitra Muni comes when Lord Ram was little bit grown up. And then he requests Dashrath Maharaj that you give me your son so that I can kill some of the Rakshasas who are obstructing my yajnas. Some other Dashrath Maharaj was not willing to part with Lord Ram. But on the advice of Vasishtha Muni, he gives it to him. And now we will see what was Vishwamitra Muni's past life. So Vishwamitra Muni, when he was a king, and once he visits the ashram of Vasishtha Muni, and Vasishtha Muni makes such a grand arrangement for their reception that King Kaushika, that was his name before he got the name Vishwamitra Muni. He saw that Vishwamitra Muni was living in a small thatch hut. And when he invites King Kaushik along with his huge army, for each soldier he makes excellent arrangement as equal to that of a heavenly planet. And whatever each soldier desired, usually when we prepare a feast, there is a fixed menu. And then you have to eat it whether you like it or not. But here, each soldier could order according to his liking. And that was supplied. And one of the soldiers he was asked, what you want to eat? He says, what Indra eats on his birthday, I want that menu to be served to me. So this is how people had their own imaginations of what they would like to eat. And that's how that arrangement was made. And then King Kaushika could not figure it out, that how it is possible that this is a sage stays in the forest in a thatched roof. In 1 second, he is making all these arrangements. And then he has created such atmosphere here that my kingdom looks like a slum in front of this. So he asked Nanda, what is the source of your this opulence? Then he says that I have a Kamdhenu, this cow, and then cow provides me all these necessities. And since you came to my home in my hermitage, it's my duty to serve you. So I requested her and she made it, all this arrangement. So Vasishtha Muni develops this greed that I should have this Kamdhenu, and then there was a fight between both of them. And Vasishtha would go back, acquire a lot of even divine weapons, and then attack on Vasishtha, and still Vasishtha would effortlessly destroy all of them. And then he understands that I am called as Maharaja, I am a king, but this sage who is like lean and thin, just have like one loincloth around his waist. But he is much more powerful, then what is the use of this Kshatriya life if this Vasishtha is so powerful? So let me also do tapasya so that I can acquire these powers. So he gives up Kshatriya duties, gives up kingly life, and then starts tapasya. And then when Indra sees that Vasishtha Muni is performing such a austere tapasya and acquiring such a pious credits, soon he will dethrone me. So he sends Maneka, and when this Menka comes, somehow that she was successful in diverting the attention, and thousands of years goes in enjoying with Menka. And then he one fine day understands what was the purpose of my austerity, with what intention I started, and then what has happened now. So he understands that I have to control the lust, and then he tells Menka to go away. And then again he starts tapasya. And goes like previously he was staying in Pushkar. Near Pushkar there is an ashram place where he was doing tapasya, and Menka comes and creates the disturbance. Then he leaves that place, goes to Himalaya. And that time again when he starts the tapasya, where we can see like in summer season he will light fire from all four directions and sit in there. In rainy season, heavy rain, he will just stand under the rain without any shelter. In the winter season, he would enter ice cold water of the rivers and perform tapasya, which we can't imagine in this age. So that time again Indra calls Ramba, a celestial woman, that you go and disturb his tapasya. She was not willing because she knew that this sage will curse me. But Indra gives promise that I will personally come along with you, and with me the Kandarpa, the Kamdeva also will be there. And all of us will make arrangements so that this his tapasya can be broken. So she was told that you go in Vaishak Mas, where the new leaves come to the trees. The atmosphere is very nice that time. And then koyal, that is the bird which gives a very sweet voice. So when she is singing, at that time you go right in front and do a lot of very good gestures, and by which the mind of Vasishtha Muni can be diverted. So keeping trust on the words of Indra, who is a Devendra, the king of all the gods, Ramba comes and she starts acting right in front of Vasishtha Muni. And then Vishwamitra Muni first hears this beautiful sound vibrations, and then after that sees the beautiful celestial woman, and then her behavior immediately he becomes angry. He says that I want to sincerely follow the path of self-realization. You are coming and disturbing me. So 10,000 years you will become stone. And Indra and the Kandarpa, they were just right behind her. And as soon as Sage become angry, both of them quietly leave from that place. So we learn the lesson. This is how, like, if somebody takes the shelter of demigods, they are not able to save you from the calamities. Ramba trusted Indra's word, but when the test came, Indra quietly left and saved himself from being cursed. And then another incident that happened in the Vishwamitra Muni was about Trishanku. That's one king in Ishvaku dynasty. One fine day, he gets the idea that, like, in the self, the same body, I want to go to the heavens. And Vashishtha Muni says that this is not possible. If you want to go to heaven, there is a procedure. You follow these pious activities, and once you leave this body, you will go to the heaven. But then he says that actually you are so powerful, and because of your power, you will be able to make some adjustments. And that's why I have come to you. But then Vishwamitra Muni said that when the Lord has set certain procedure, why should I break that procedure? You have a desire to go to heavenly planets. There is a way mentioned, and accordingly you go. But then Ishvaku was not satisfied with that. Trishanku was not satisfied with that, so he leaves and goes to his sons. And he explains that your father said no, but then can you help me in this? So Vashishtha Muni's son becomes angry. When my father has given you advice, then instead of following your guru's advice, you are coming to situate that how you can bypass that. So you will become Chandala. So his very beautiful body immediately turns into black. All his golden garment or ornaments, they turned into copper ornaments, and he looks very ugly. The citizens of his own country, they drive him away, and then he goes to Vishwamitra Muni when he was doing tapasya and explains all those things. And Vishwamitra says that if Vashishtha says no, then I will do it, and it is possible. And then he tries. And what happens, he becomes successful, he sends him, performs yatna, sends Trishanku in the heavenly planets. Indra sees Trishanku is coming, again he sends it back, again he sends up, again he sends back. Then eventually Vishwamitra Muni makes the heavenly planets around Trishanku in the middle of the planetary system. But then what happens is, during all these things, all his pious credits, all his strength gets exhausted. Now this heavenly planets that are created to facilitate Trishanku started falling on the earth because he didn't have sufficient tapasya to hold it. And that's the time when he sees that this, my own creation falls on earth, everything on the earth will be destroyed. So now something urgently, immediately has to be done. So he then surrenders to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu comes and says that, how come you remembered me? Because all the time you go to Brahma and other places. Then he said that, you please see that this my own creation is coming with such a great speed to earthly planet. You please stop that. And then we can have further discussions. So then immediately he surrenders unto the lotus feet of Lord Hari. And then Lord Hari says that maintenance is my domain, so please don't interfere in this domain. But because you immediately surrendered unto me, when I come in the form of a human being in the earthly planets, in my avatar of Lord Ram, I will accept you as one of my guru. And that's how we see then Vishwamitra Muni was so much respected by Lord Ram and Lakshman that Vishwamitra Muni would say, sit on the bank of Sharayu river and then he would order them, now you do Ashman, then they would do Ashman. Then he taught them Bala and Atibala, these two Vidyas. And then he said, if you know this, then you will be able to counteract all kinds of demons. Whether you are sleeping or unprepared, no demon can affect you. So in that sense, the Supreme Lord takes such a humble position that he, all the Vidyas come from him. But when he acts as a human being, he acts as if any other ordinary human being. And he accepts the Guru, and whatever Guru says, he does. And then Vasishtha Muni tells them all the history of how the Ganga descended on the earthly planet. Then when they went to a forest, the forest was deserted. So what was the reason for degradation of the forest? Then about the Ahilya, everything he would do. And then what we see, that whatever respect one gives to the spiritual master, Lord Ram would give it to Vishwamitra Muni, and that's how he would get a lot of joy of serving the spiritual master. And Vishwamitra Muni Laikna would put both of them to sleep also. Then he would wake them up early in the morning. So this is how, then he orders him, like, no, you have to kill this demoness Tataka, who is destroying all my yajnas. And don't worry, she being a woman, don't hesitate to eliminate her, because she is creating such a great disturbance to the sages. And performance of Yuga Dharma at that time was performance of yajnas. And then he gave the example that in certain situations the great personalities have killed women as well. So he gave that Virochana, she was a daughter of Bali, and when she wanted to destroy the earth, the Indra kills her. Then the mother of Shukracharya and the wife of Bhrigu Muni, she wanted to kill Indra. So that time Vishnu himself kills her. So you should kill the Trataka. So this is how she explains it. And we see that how Vishwamitra was given such an exalted position because he immediately surrendered, and the Supreme Lord himself takes him as his own spiritual master. And as we were discussing, that how Srila Prabhupada had got such a strong faith, and that faith is exhibited in all his purports, and he made such a bold statements to everyone. And he knew that how the people's heart will be changed. For people's heart to be changed, the heart has to be clean first. And when in the year 1981, the New York Times published one article. So in that article, they were saying that if you see the condition of the society, the biggest threat for today's society is the crime conducted by the people. Is it the inflation or unemployment or environmental, all other problems are subsidiaries. So there was one professor from Harvard University, his name was James Wilson, and he was considered the national authority on the subject of crime. And he wrote one thesis. In that thesis he written that if you want to prevent these our people to commit the crime, so what we have to do is, like, our justice system has to be updated properly. There has to be swift and certain penalties to be given to the criminals. At the same time, for the people of the United States, ample economic opportunity should be available, that whoever wants to earn anything, the earning should be very easy. Then we should have a secular church, means you banish the Supreme Lord from the churches. Then intimidating schools. That means, he is mentioning intimidating schools in the society where the freedom of speech is given topmost importance. That means intimidating schools in the sense that when the children go to the school, they should feel the authority of the teachers and feel scared. If they do something wrong, immediately action will be taken. And then there should be individuals should be having a self-expressions. So all these things which he suggested, that if you do it, then the crimes in the society will be reduced. But then what happens is, Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Chicago in 1975, the chief of the police department came to meet Srila Prabhupada, and his name was David Mosey. And then he was saying that, how I can control the crime in the city? Then Prabhupada instantly replied him that what is the difference between a pious man and what is the difference between a criminal? Pious man and a criminal. He says that pious man has got a clean heart and a criminal has got a dirty heart. In criminal's heart there will be greed, there will be lot of anger, lust, all those things will be there, and because of that he will be impelled to commit the crimes. So if you want this thing, then the people should be taught how to chant the holy name of the Lord, and when people will chant the holy name of the Lord, their heart will be cleansed and then they will not commit the crime. So this police chief explained, yeah, I do understand that God is powerful, but coming back to my question, how the crime in the society will be reduced. That means what Prabhupada spoke, it didn't sink in his mind. And then Prabhupada said, see my disciples, all these disciples were having all bad habits. They were also part of the same society and doing similar kind of activities, and they have become pure. And along with the chanting, the prasadam also has to be distributed. And that time also he did not understand. And then Prabhupada explained that, look, what I have done, I simply sat and chanted, I induced these people to chant the holy name, and in the end I distributed little prasadam. So I am an individual person and we have a society, we have a limited resources, and still we are able to change the heart of the people. If the government participates in with us, provides us the resources, provides us a big place where we can conduct our Harinam Sankirtan, gives us resources to distribute prasadam, then the whole society will change. And he said, what did I do? I just simply chanted, gave prasadam, and you see the change right in front of your eyes. So why don't you accept this process, which is happening and affecting the society? Then he started, but should we start from a poor section of the society or from the rich section of the society? Then Prabhupada replied, you see, the crime is there in poor section also, and crime is there in the rich section also. So we don't make any distinction on this platform, whether rich or poor, both commit crimes. And the remedy is the similar. So what is the difficulty? So we can see that how Srila Prabhupada had such an immense faith in the scriptures, that simply people start following the words of the scriptures, they will be benefited. And that's how we can see in Ramayana, the whole Ramayana, as we seen, the Valmiki Muni transformed himself from the hunter to the sage by chanting the holy name. And throughout the Ramayana also, there are various incidences where Lord Ram's name saved big climatic situations. It's like all the Vanaras were searching for Mother Sita, and when they come at the southernmost tip, and that's the time Sampati was there, and he wanted to eat all these Vanaras. And that time Mandras were discussing about Lord Ram's Katha and how Lord Ram performed the last rites of the Jatayus. So immediately then Sampati gives up the inimical attitudes towards the monkeys and then helps them how they can save themselves and how they can locate Mother Sita as well. At the same time, when Sita gets frustrated in Ashok Van waiting for Lord Ram and wanted to end her life, that's the time Hanuman intervenes and starts chanting the name of Lord Ram, and Sita gives up her despondent attitude and stops giving up his life. At the same time, the Bharat had given very clear time frame that if you don't come back within this time frame, I will end my life. And Agastya Muni requests Lord Ram that you please wait here for some time, one day, and then next day you can go to Ayodhya. Then Hanuman sends, and then Lord Ram sends Hanuman that you go and give this message that I am coming, I have just come till the Agastya Muni's ashram. So that time, Bharat wanted to end his life. As soon as he hears the message of Hanuman, he stops it. So here we can see that how the contamination that is there, that we get attracted to so many sinful ways of life, how we can stop that is because we have the envious heart. Because we have a pride in the heart, the pride leads to envy. And when there is envy, we think ourselves as a doers. And when somebody thinks himself as a doer, he will start enjoying the material resources. And then he starts the competition. And that's how we see the Ravana. He had such a tremendous pride in his heart. And that led to envy. He always envied others who have more than him. And he also was thinking of himself as the enjoyer. And interestingly, if you see, when this pastime of Lord Ram will end in this ninth canto, as the episode ends, there is a Phalashruti, what the sadhaka will do by hearing that section of the Bhagavatam. So Sukadeva Goswami says that anyone who faithfully hears the pastime of Lord Ramchandra, envy in the heart will dissipate. So this is how when there is no envy in the heart, then we will be able to chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly. And it will have a great effect. So that's why on the occasion of Lord Ram's appearance, or whenever the Vishnu Tattva descends in this material world, what we have to understand is our commitment to the spiritual practice should renew. And we should spend a day hearing about Lord's activities and participating in the various fests like Abhishek, or hearing about it, at the same time preparing the feast for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord and serving the devotees. Because what we have seen is, in case of Hanumanji, if you see the character of Hanuman and all the pastimes in which Lord Hanuman is involved, every time you will see that he was helping someone else. Always doing things for others. So Hanuman is like epitome of selfless service to the Supreme Lord. And it gives lot of hope to the sadhakas. And that's why we have seen that so many people worship Hanuman, so that we can get the selfless serving spirit from him. At the same time, we get hope that Lord Hanuman, along with our side, we will be able to become successful in our endeavor of serving the Supreme Lord. And we have seen that Srila Prabhupada established Ram temples in Bombay, Zuhu, then Washington, in Delhi. Because he knew that these are the capital cities, the political leaders stay in this, and political leaders should take inspiration from Lord Ram, how they should rule the world, so that Ram Rajya can be brought. And this is how we can see that in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is very clearly saying that in today's world also Ram Rajya can come if people follow simple process mentioned in the scriptures. So that faith that Srila Prabhupada had, if we also get that faith, and if you participate in the preaching activities, we will be able to change the hearts of the people. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Are there any questions or comments anyone wants to make? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki.